Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here. So I'm going to start with this poem called "The Salvation Army Wasn't Meant for You." The fedora smelled of the damp basement shop, of men who bunked upstairs, listened to talks of temperance, then pushed fumigated couches into penitent rows. My poor mother, poor woman who'd been saved by the suburbs, then exiled to powder room envy, practically burped embarrassment. Where did you get that? Gray of house dust, gray of calloused skin. I'd slipped on some small gray man's head, stuck the hat with a pigeon feather. We were trying to rise above a poor immigrant past, and there I was, feathered obstacle to blending in. I'd plucked the hat from babushkas, what my mother put on, the meek shall inherit the earth, and neckties, what my father shed to pick apples from an ex-orchard's stunted trees. We'd mash the fruit into sauce, line winter shelves, then eat to bargain the cabbage from our breaths. My father called off half a day, rolled up his sleeves, churned away skins, while my mother boiled jars to almost breaking. The apples opened their voluptuous smell, while I wished for Manwich, Hungry Jack, that free American feel in my mouth. What had seemed like salvation was my land of not enough. I tamped this inheritance under that brim, spilled abundant hair, framed my apple cheeks like a parade queen. That too big hat forced my chin up. Who needs dreams when you have attitude? Did I want attention? Yes. Hey, Annie Hall. Hey, boy George. I belted voluminous pinstriped trousers around my headstrong waist, wore silk slips as dresses, tricycle red pedal pushers, and always that hat. Who do you think you are? A long-haired man in a dress? Yes. Vintage 1960, fabric girly scripted with names of herbs, tarragon, savory, sage. I would taste them all. Thanks. My poor mother, because I've got some mom poems tonight, some mother poems. This one is a Thanksgiving poem, so I have to read it because it's November. It is called "A Thanksgiving, an Unsaid Grace," and it's a prose poem. My father-in-law calls to say he brined the turkey to tastelessness, and no one hears, husband and daughter, brothers and their families downstairs playing games. So my dead mother answers. I know nothing about turkey's flesh, but have known them to chase me, wild, as I bolted through a city forest on my bike. My mother's cooked one each year since before she married, willing her onion and cabbage house to smell American, and cooked one each year since she died, rubbing the bird's skin with butter after its saltwater bath, before hours of slow roasting, browned air keeping her in the world she didn't love. Stuffed from six kids, her big bag body's skin stayed the same size as she shrunk old. Skin under chin where more chins had been. Stomach skin atop stomach skin under empty feed sack breasts. The flesh and fat she wanted to shed dusts her coffin's bones. She takes the call. It's okay she blamed each of us for her nipples meeting navel. It's okay she locked herself in a room while we downed beers and laughed. It's okay life is hard, even when its daily makings aren't. That thanks are wishbones we forget to snap. She'd riddled my morning while I wanted to sleep by plucking stuck feathers, yanking organs, stuffing her emptiness with torn white bread, boiling giblets for my father, also dead, who, after everyone leaves, will study the innards, say their names, heart, liver, gizzard, then rip with delicate fingers. I, too, am disappearing into gray age, listening to the basement laughs. My dead mother debates table versus sea salt, though she's never met my husband or his father, never stood at my kitchen counter, never marveled at the windows that eye a river and remind me to travel out of my head, never said until now, it's too much work to keep them clean. She peed with the door open. She actually peed with the door closed, kept her nightgown under a pillow, watched Phil Donahue, and loved the polka, which I'd pull her into on Sunday afternoons to twirl her out of her sadness, which twirled me into mine. She loved vanilla ice cream, morning glories, and the ocean, where I send her now, breast-stroking past breaking waves, rubber-capped head drifting parallel to shore, leaving her kids, finally, not at peace, but to figure out what they can love and how. Thanks. Here's a poem. I guess it's a poem about getting older. It's called So Easy. Someone says a woman's name and someone else says she's getting divorced, but I knew her only from a party, a nervous hour and a half where I didn't have much to say, not so different from now, sitting in a bar with friends who won't talk about marriage, fears, the fact that this is our lives. So we talk about skirts, antioxidants, the quicksand of busy, sometimes our kids, which makes me miss my 20s and 30s when life was about sex. We didn't sleep because of sex, ran because of sex, hurt our friends, streaked our hair, sat cross-legged and prolific, passed Kleenexes, stroked each other's hair because of sex and more sex. And we worked to buy alcohol, which we drank for fun, not to relax. Now, the almost divorced woman is as close as we get to that gut rush, fever gasp, life and death feeling that has nothing to do with death, which is why we want it. At the party, the woman gave me a scallion smeared with cream cheese, wrapped in ham, a recipe her mom served at cocktail parties where people smoked. So easy. Did the woman know then her husband would leave? That she didn't love him or he didn't love her? The words didn't love merciless, too roomy to hold love's delicate glasswork. One of these friends next month will forfeit a breast to save her life. We'll bring soup and tea, candles and balms, then retreat to our homes, stand naked in front of mirrors and examine our bodies, hesitant again to touch what we can lose. I feel like I scared you. Okay. You don't have to clap. I just, you know. Okay, let's see. I'm going to read a poem from a journal that came out a little bit ago that Jim Daniels also has a poem in. Yes. So Rattle did a Rust Belt edition where they featured Rust Belt poets. And I think three Pittsburghers ended up in there. So this is called Weed Whacker. Weed whackers do solve a problem, just like smacking a 2-year-old's face makes him startle quiet for a second. Smacking is a good thing to hate, but if you're honest, you understand the desire. Then remember, right is right. On the bus, I watched a young mother playing Give Me Five with her little boy, a smacking game. Later, he wanted something he couldn't have and smacked his mom's breast. What happened next? A weed's roots weave close to the surface, so when you pull them up, it's like roads lifting off a map, and suddenly we go back centuries to when this country was new. People tramped prairie grass and navigated with the sun. And the roots of weeds can dig down deep, so deep you spend hours on the ground, arm in the earth, loosening and pulling. This small, deep killing feels good. It feels right. I read about a 6-year-old wandering the highway while her mom was at work. She wanted Twinkies, Twinkies from the store. There wasn't a store for miles, and there's so much shit in them, they're barely food. But she wanted spongy sweetness, wanted a glass of milk, wanted a mom who has a way not to leave her at home alone while she works. Whack rhymes with smack, and in some ways, right rhymes with wrong. Forgive us, we say to our hands. Okay, next poem. I'm going to attempt to be lighter, okay? So I was thinking about, this is true. I was writing a letter of recommendation for somebody, and I was thinking about that weird language, you know, like you go and you get to write a letter of recommendation, so it's like your poetic mind goes, and then you start like finding all that language of like letter of recommendation. So I have a poem called Letter of Recommendation. Letter of recommendation. I'm writing to recommend this almost gaudy sunset for the position of personal accountant. It may appear overqualified, but the sun, like me, is still learning about focus and is willing to work hard. I'm writing because this armchair is comfortable enough to woo tears from sleeping generals and should receive a Peace Prize. I'm writing this recommendation for my old coworker, Jealousy, who is an amazing team player, gives great attention to detail, and who deserves a position with more growth potential. I'm very carefully not recommending my dashingly handsome kitchen table for the job of musical stage, my front sidewalk for the position of runway, my glued candelabra as beacon for the lost. But I'm being circumspect so as not to hurt their feelings. I'm honored to write in support of my brief moments of arrogance for the position of productivity specialist and my past failures as project manager. I couldn't stop my mother from crying. I'm writing to show strong support for breakfasts that include fresh berries, lunches high in protein, and dinners that prepare you for dreams of floating through a childhood holding a bowl of ice cream. I strongly suggest you hire my partner, Self-Doubt, as chief systems analyst. Her ability to meticulously parse decisions, past and present, will leave you curled in a ball counting carpet fibers. My old cat, Ruby, will make a perfect conflict resolution specialist based on her diplomatic relationship with the mice who shared her food. I'm more than confident my front door will exceed your expectations as longing specialist. For nearly 10 years, I've witnessed her steadfastly awaiting the return of a serenity that never existed. I've breathed in the air from her dust-filled sighs. All right, folks, one more poem, and I'm wrapping it up. So, first of all, thank you. There's like three other poetry events tonight. Thanks for being here. I want to thank Ad and Jill and their baby for giving us the space. Thanks to Bob for doing this. Thanks to the other great readers you're going to hear. So, do you have this in your bookstore? Yay. So this is a great little love poem anthology from Logos Press, the local press. They just do great things, and Chris Collins is such a great guy. So I'm going to read a poem that I had in there. Do you guys know who Sarah Teasdale is? So Sarah Teasdale was my introduction to poetry. So she was writing at the turn of the century, the last century. And she actually won the Pulitzer in, I think, 1918 for a book called Love Poems. And somehow I stumbled into this book when I was like in fifth grade, and I was like, wow, these are poems. They're super sing-songy. And I'm like, this is what it means to be an adult. You write love poems. So this is a poem just called Dear Sarah Teasdale, featuring again my dead mother. Dear Sarah Teasdale, my dead mother bought me new underwear and a few hoodies in suburban colors, soft as Velux blankets. I wandered through a huge house to find where she napped, warm breath on worn pillow. She lifted the gifts from an old brown suitcase and saying I loved them, though I didn't, and her was easy. The natural state I'd imagined love to be as a girl surrounded by apple trees, abandoned to lawns, and your hardbound words simply rhymed. The trees spit bug-filled fruit, and my mother and I picked with paring knives to find the good sweet, the good tart. Oh, aristocrat, your quiet music sheltered me. Then, grown, I spit your romance aside, bitter as orange rind. I'm sorry, I loved your love songs. I still don't own the book. I regret waking up. Thank you.